Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace to listen to your word. We pray that you open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. May your word penetrate our hearts. May we see what you want us to see. May we understand what you want us to understand. And may these words sink into our hearts, and may we treasure them and meditate upon them and live according to the word. Your word gives us freedom, delivers us from the bondage, guides us into the truth, saves us from darkness and from false teachings and assumptions. We thank you for this wonderful word that you have given to us as a gift, and help us to treasure it, love it, and obey it. We thank you for your son Jesus once again. We remember his cross, because of which we gather as a church, honoring the Lord's day on which our Lord resurrected from the dead. And we have come together to listen to your word and learn together from your word. And today, as I am speaking about Sabbath, we pray that you please to encourage our hearts through your word and teach us some important lessons. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. So please turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. This is a bit meaty subject, and I encourage you to be patient and pay careful attention so that you can understand this word of the Lord through His Holy Scripture. We have been listening to different sermons and topics and various lessons we have learned from Colossians. And today we will be learning, especially on Sabbath, because this is a controversial issue that we find in Christianity today. Many believers are confused whether we are under the obligation to keep the Sabbath, the law of Sabbath, which is actually the title that I have given. Are believers obligated to keep the law of Sabbath? Let me read from Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. Colossians 2, 16 to 17. Let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Right, we have seen from Colossians about, in first chapter and second chapter, Paul speaking about the supremacy of Christ. And also we have seen how our sufficiency is found in Christ. And as the church in Colossae, as they were seeking Christ and as they were attempting to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were also hurdles that they were facing. One of the heresies that we find in Colossian church was they were not understanding, they were undermining the supremacy of Christ, because of which Paul was speaking to the church at Colossae about so much about the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And along with the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, there were other heresies that the Colossian church was facing. And we see that in Colossians chapter 2 verse 8, Paul is speaking about worldly philosophies. We will think about it later. And then in chapter 2 verse 16, he speaks about Jewish legalistic laws. The worldly philosophies, the Jewish legalistic laws that we see, like observance of food and special days. And one of them is Sabbath, which we will be looking into it. And then in verse 18, chapter 2 verse 18, he speaks about mysticism, asceticism, where people were worshipping angels, and they were going to the other extreme of torturing their bodies. We see the worldly philosophies, the Jewish legalistic laws, and also we see the issue of mysticism. Then Paul speaks about in verse 16 and 17 in this way, in order to confront the heresies in the church at Colossae. He says, therefore, after explaining about Christ, his sufficiency, and also his supremacy, our sufficiency in him and his supremacy, Paul concludes saying that, therefore, let no one judge you. That's what we see, that let no one judge you. Let no one decide your salvation. Let no one decide your spiritual maturity, your spiritual condition. Based on what? Based on the following things. Paul says, let no one judge you based on your observance of food. What you eat, what you drink decides your salvation. What you eat, what you drink decides your spiritual maturity and condition. He says, let no one judge you based on food. And also he says about days, which includes festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. Let no one tell you you are lost because you are not keeping the ceremonial laws of the Jewish Mosaic law. Let no one judge you on this. And then Paul makes a very interesting conclusion. He says, these are a shadow of the things to come. When Paul was speaking about the Old Testament Jewish laws, he was telling that these are a shadow. They were only for temporal condition or temporal reason. They were not permanent laws. And then he says that, but the substance belongs to Christ. Christ is eternal. Christ is a real substance. And the law was all pointing to the person, Jesus Christ, is what we see Paul is speaking about. In other words, what we can tell about this scripture is that Sabbath was a temporal rest which was given in the Mosaic law, but Christ is our eternal rest. Sabbath was the shadow, but Christ is the substance. I am specifically speaking about Sabbath because this is one issue which is a very controversial topic in Christianity today, and many Christians are confused. Do we have to follow it or do we have to give it up? What makes it difficult actually, whether we have to follow it or not? You know why? Why it is such a crucial subject? Why it is so controversial? You know why? It is because it is one of the Ten Commandments. If it was not one of the Ten Commandments, the problem wouldn't have been there. But because it is one of the Ten Commandments, it is a very crucial, controversial issue whether we have to follow it or not. But let's first look at what is Sabbath. What is Sabbath? And then we will finally see at whether we have to keep it. But let's lay the foundation and understand some important elements about Sabbath. What is Sabbath? And this is the definition of Sabbath. It literally means to cease. In other words, it's a red light. Whenever you travel in the road, on the road, you will see that red light means cease. Stop it. You have to stop the vehicle. So Sabbath is like a red light. At the end of the week, the seventh day is a red signal that goes on and say, stop what you are doing and take rest. It means it is a day of rest in which the Jews abstain from work from Friday evening to Saturday evening. For a Jew, the day doesn't begin midnight at 12 o'clock like us. For them, it begins at Saturday evening and then it begins on Friday evening and ends on Saturday evening, the day of Sabbath. It literally means to cease. And there were also some annual Sabbaths that we see into the scripture, and also sabbatical years. We will not be looking into that because that's not very important for us now. The most important thing is, do we have to keep the day of Sabbath, the seventh day? Now, the other question that we need to ask, what is Sabbath? Sabbath is a day of rest, a day for us to cease from our usual work. But where do we find the commandment to keep the day of Sabbath? It's one of the Ten Commandments, and that's what we see in Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. Please follow me carefully. People think that Sabbath should be kept only by others, but it is more than that if you look into the scripture. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. If you observe the scripture carefully, who should keep Sabbaths? The adults, the grown-ups, and who are the others? The children, your sons and daughters, children also should keep the Sabbath. And who are the other ones? Servants, the male servants and the female servants should keep the day of Sabbath. And interestingly, who also should keep the day of Sabbath? Even livestock. animals also should be keeping the day of Sabbath. You know what is very interesting in the Ten Commandments is this. You know what is it? Most of the Ten Commandments are moral laws. Only the Sabbath day is a ceremonial law. Now I need to explain to you, you need to understand that theologians have divided the whole law of Moses into three categories. Please understand, very important. If you want to understand the Old Testament and also what Paul is speaking over here. They divided, theologians have divided, Moses didn't divide, Paul didn't divide, but theologians have divided for our understanding. They divided the whole law into three laws. One is the moral law, like don't commit adultery, don't lie, don't give a false witness. It is called moral law related to morality. The other is ceremonial laws. Ceremonial laws are like keeping the days, keeping the festivals, keeping some food laws like don't eat pork in the Old Testament that we see, and different laws, and also days that we see that. And Sabbath falls into the ceremonial law. It's an observance of a day. It is not a moral law. Are you understanding? It's a ceremonial law. And then we also find judicial law, which is a civil law, like eye for eye, tooth for tooth, person's punishment, or he should keep the civil laws. This is what we see. We see that in the Ten Commandments, all the rest of the Nine Commandments are moral law. Only Sabbath is a ceremonial law. This is important for us to understand and keep in mind. And also we need to see that Sabbath is not the first day of the week. Some people say that Sunday is the first day of the week. Sunday is the Sabbath day. Sunday is not the Sabbath day. Sunday is the first day of the week. It is a Saturday, which is the last day of the week. At least I say that Seventh-day Adventists and Jehovah's Witnesses are very strict in keeping, because they understand that Sabbath is not the first day of the week. It is the last day of the week. So they are very strict on keeping Saturday as the Sabbath day. Some Christians try to manipulate this and telling that, we don't have to be very particular about the seventh day. Even first day also can be called the Sabbath day. No. First day of the week, Sunday, is not the Sabbath. Only the seventh day, the last day, is the Sabbath. But what does the Sabbath day represent? Is another question that we need to be asking. What does the Sabbath day represent? One of the interesting things we find in the Old Testament is the covenants that God had made. There were various covenants that we see in the Bible. And one of the covenants we see is a Noahic covenant. And what is the covenant that the Lord makes to Noah? Never again I will send the flood upon the earth. And what is the sign of the covenant that God gives to Noah? Rainbow is the sign of the covenant. And the other one we see is the Abrahamic covenant. And what is the sign of the Abrahamic covenant? Circumcision, which is only for men. Genesis chapter 17, we see that the Abrahamic covenant and circumcision is a sign. Understand this, Noahic covenant sign is rainbow. Abrahamic covenant sign is circumcision. And now God gives the Sinai covenant, which is a Mosaic law that God has given. Please turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 31. We find the Sinai covenant, which the Lord makes with the people of Israel. And here is what the Lord says when He makes a covenant. And what is the sign of it? We need to understand, my dear brothers, Sabbath is not the covenant. It is the sign of the covenant. Okay? Now that's what we see in Exodus 31, 12 to 17. Follow me carefully what the Lord speaks over here to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people, to Israel, and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout the generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in the 6 days of the Lord, that in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. What do we see over here? He says that, for this is a sign between me and you. What is the sign between God and the people of Israel? Sabbath. It's a sign of the covenant. It is very, very important. We will look later about, it is a life and death issue. for the people of Israel. That's what we understand as we go ahead. And what is the reward for keeping the law of Sabbaths? We see that in Isaiah chapter 56 verse 2. This is the reward for keeping the law of Sabbaths. Blessed is the man, Isaiah chapter 56 verse 2. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. If you walk on the Sabbath, it's an evil thing. And the Bible says, blessed is the man who really keeps Sabbath. What is the reward for keeping the Sabbaths? Blessings. The blessings of the Lord upon the people of Israel was dependent also on their obedience to follow the law of Sabbaths. But what is the consequence for violating it? If you don't keep the law of Sabbaths, what would happen? All those who want to follow the law of Sabbath, please listen carefully what the Bible says. And this is what it should be done to people. Exodus chapter 31, verses 14 to 15. And this is what it says. What is it saying? You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Now imagine how serious it was. What are the other sins that if people do, they should be put to death? Adultery. Honor your father and mother. If you don't honor your father and mother, according to the law, you should be put to death. If you commit adultery, you should be put to death. And it says, even if you don't keep the day of Sabbath, you should be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among these people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the day of Sabbath, on the Sabbath day, shall be put to death. It's a very serious crime in the land of Israel to violate the day of Sabbath. But the interesting question that we need to ask over here is, what did the Jews do on the day of Sabbath? What did they do generally? Now we will look into that. According to Exodus 31:14, we see that they have to abstain from usual work. They have to abstain from usual work. If people today have to be very strict in keeping the law of Sabbath, I think many of them will be out of the work. And they will be depending on others for charity to support their families. But we see here that it was a very serious thing. And it was easy for them to follow because they were a nation. And it is one of the laws of the nation, so it's not so difficult for them. But when they were under the laws of the other nation, then they faced the problems. But what we understand here is that these people should abstain from their usual work. And also, according to Numbers 28:9-10, we see that they offered special burnt offerings on the day of Sabbath. That is permitted. They can offer offerings, burnt offerings. They should not be doing their usual work. But after the establishment of the synagogues, which we don't see in the Old Testament period of time, but it was established when the Jews went into exile, then they established synagogues. Synagogues were the religious centers. It is not a temple. They were the religious centers where they used to come together to worship and to study the scripture. But after the establishment of synagogues, the Jews gathered in synagogues on the day of Sabbath to worship and study. Where do we find them? We find them very clearly in the New Testament. Let me read at least two scriptures for your understanding. One we find in Luke chapter 4 verse 16. And this is what Jesus was often seems to be doing. And he came to Nazareth, Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, this was his custom. What was his custom? He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. So here gives a hint that on the day of Sabbath, these people come together on in the synagogue and they read the scripture together. And also we see that the synagogues were the very powerful gospel centers for the apostles. We also see this in Acts chapter 13 verses 14 to 16. Acts 13, 14 to 16. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day, listen to this, on the Sabbath day, they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them saying, brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it. So Paul stood up and motioning with his hand, said. So what do we understand is the Jews generally ceased from working. They offered burnt offerings and also they gathered on the day of Sabbath in synagogues to study the scripture together and for worship. That's what we understand the Jews were doing. But what happened as the days went by, as the centuries went by, as the years went by, the day, the laws of Sabbath became very, very strict. The rabbis were beating their heads together about what does it mean not to work. Because when the Bible says not to work, that means anything that you lift, any weight that you carry, any burden that you put on yourself, it's a work. Now the definition is that yes, any burden that you lift is a work. But how much weight do you need to lift up? What is the weight that you have to consider in order to keep Sabbath? And the rabbis came up with a list, huge, endless list about this is what you should be doing, this is not what you should be doing in order to keep the law of Sabbath. And let me read some of them. I'm not reading all of them, but some of them. People were forbidden from traveling more than 3,000 feet from their homes on the day of Sabbath. Only 3,000. If you cross more than 3,000, you are breaking the day of Sabbath and it's an offense. You are committing a sin. A Jew could not carry an object, anything, you could not carry if it is weighed more than a dried fig. You know the fig fruit? More than that, if it is there, you are not permitted to carry that. But an object that weighed half that amount could be carried twice. Interesting. One could not eat nothing larger than an olive fruit. You could not throw the object into the air with one hand and catch it with the other. Okay, if it's with the same hand, it's okay. But if it's with the other hand, you cannot do that. Now, these are people strictly took it to follow. If the Sabbath came upon you as you were reaching out for some food, you were trying to eat and you were reaching out, suddenly 6 p.m. in the evening, the Sabbath down, you would have to drop the food before you pulled your arm back to eat. Otherwise, you would be guilty of carrying a burden on the Sabbath. Even to carry the food is a curse. Clothing could not be washed, happy Women's Day, or dyed on the day of Sabbath. A letter could not be sent. A fire could not be lit or extinguished. You cannot do that on the day of Sabbath. Now listen carefully. Interesting. If you failed to light your lamps before the Sabbath, if you forget to light the lamps in your house before the day of Sabbath, you had to sit in the dark until the next evening. And nowadays, you know what happened now in the Jews? What they do is, they made automatic lights that will automatically switch on the day of Sabbath. Advancement, right? So this is what they do now. But it sounds crazy. Jews could not take a bath on Sabbath, Happy Men's Day. If they did, some of the water might splash onto the floor and this would be considered washing it. So you should not take bath because that's a problem. A woman could not look into a looking glass. You cannot look into the mirror because she might see a gray hair and be tempted to pull it out, which is a work on the day of Sabbath. False teeth, that is artificial teeth, could not be worn because they exceeded the weight limits. So on the day of Sabbath, you should pull out the artificial teeth because you should not carry the weight. It's a work. A Jewish tailor could not carry a needle on the Sabbath lest he be tempted to mend a torn garment. You may be tempted to stitch it, so don't carry. Now, when Jesus was living, this is a problem. You know why Jesus was attacked? Not simply people. This is the tension they were living in. Now, listen carefully. This is how crazy this is. This is the most craziest thing that I see there. If your child falls on a Sabbath and injures his knee, skins his knee, you are allowed by the law to take a bandage and tie it over that knee. But you are not allowed to take any medicine and put it on the wound. And then tie the bandage, because if you put the medicine on the wound will start to get better, which means the body is working. And your body is not allowed to work on the Sabbath. So tie a bandage to keep it from getting worse, but do not put medicine to help it get better. Now do you understand, when Jesus healed the person on the day of Sabbath, they were angry. Now how could he heal this person on the day of Sabbath? But understand this, that was far better than this. This is actually the worst thing. You cannot even put a medicine on the wound because you are making your body to work by healing your wound. And you know, ultimately, now do you think that this is a day of rest? This is a day of stress. Nobody can, what was the intention of the law? To give rest to man. But here it's a curse, it's a burden, it's a stress. People were beating and struggling and they were working hard to rest. They were going through stress to keep the day of rest, which is very interesting actually. And that's what we see, that Jesus was vehemently attacked because he was correcting the wrong application of the Jews. When he was healing the sick, people were attacking. And one of the reasons why Jews killed him is because he violated the day of Sabbath according to their assumptions about how a day of Sabbath should be kept. So Jesus did not break the Sabbath, and he made a very powerful statement saying that the Son of Man is the Lord of Sabbath. I am the one who can decide what should be done on the day of Sabbath, not you. Because I am the maker of it, and I put the laws of how it should be implemented, which is another evidence of the deity of Christ when Jesus said, I am the Lord of Sabbath. Now let me give you some reasons about why we New Testament believers, I'm just giving you the foundation I have laid till now about what is Sabbath, what is a blessing, what is a curse, and how the Jews kept and how it was taken into an extreme. But now we will be looking at, I will be giving 10 reasons. 10 reasons on why we New Testament believers are not obligated to keep the day of Sabbath. Now listen carefully and keep this in your mind so that you would be able to defend when somebody questions. And also at the same time you will develop convictions on why you should do and what you shouldn't do. And one of the things I want our church to be educated is, don't follow anything blindly. Have convictions about, biblical convictions about why you do certain things and why you don't do certain things, and be in a position of defense when somebody criticizes and challenges your conviction. There should be biblical grounds. So let me give you 10 reasons. Okay, the first one is this. The first one for reasons why believers are not under the law of Sabbath. The first one is this. Since Sabbath was a covenant sign for the Mosaic law, and we see in the New Testament, Paul and the others were arguing that we are not under the law of Sabbaths. Sorry. We are not under the law of Moses. Now listen carefully. When we are not under the law of Moses, how can we keep the law of Sabbath, which is the sign of the Mosaic covenant? It doesn't make sense. It's like telling, you know, I divorced my wife, but I'm still wearing the wedding ring. Now why do you wear the wedding ring when you are divorced? What do? One of the first things you do when you are divorced is what? You remove the ring. When you remove the ring, that means that I'm no longer into the covenant. Because the wedding ring is a sign of the marriage covenant. In the same way, when people are divorced from the Mosaic law, and we are not under the law of Moses, but we are under the law of Christ, then why are we wearing the sign of the covenant, which is not obligated for us to follow? According to Exodus chapter 31, it is a sign of the Mosaic covenant. So since, because of this reason, it's a sign of the covenant, since we are not under the Mosaic law, we are not to keep the day of Sabbath. The second reason is this. The second reason is what we see from Colossians that we have read. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16 to 17. Instead of telling the church to follow the day of Sabbath, what did Paul say over here? He gives an evidence that we are not under the law of Sabbath. What did he say? Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. He's telling, let no one judge you. Now when Paul is telling, let no one judge you, whether you are keeping the day of Sabbath, that means you are not obligated to keep Sabbath. And also he says, these are but a shadow, but the substance is Christ. So Paul himself gives the reason and supports that we are not under the law of Sabbath. The third reason is this. The third reason is we see from Galatians chapter 4 verses 10 to 11. Galatians chapter 4 verses 10 to 11. And this is what Paul says to Galatians. You observe days and months and seasons and years. He's rebuking the people here. You observe all these things which are the Old Testament laws, ceremonial laws. I'm afraid I have labored over you in vain. And one of the rebukes Paul gives is the special days is nothing but Sabbath is one of the special days. And Paul says that I have labored over you in vain. We are not obligated to keep these ceremonial laws. And Paul gives a rebuke over here which includes the Sabbaths. The fourth reason is this, which is a very, very powerful argument for us not to be under the law of Sabbath. You know what is that, the fourth thing? Of the 10 commandments listed in Exodus 20 verses 1 to 7, only 9, which are the moral laws of them, were mentioned in the law of Christ. That is, in the teachings of Christ and the apostolic teachings. We find in Matthew 19:18, murder, adultery, stealing, false witness, honoring parents and worshipping God. And also in Romans 13:9, we see coveting, which is repeated. Worshipping God properly covers the first three commandments. The one that was not mentioned as a practice for believers was Sabbath. All nine were mentioned in the apostolic teachings, but the Sabbath was not mentioned. And when it was mentioned in a negative sense that we are not under the obligation of Sabbath, which is another powerful reason for us not to keep Sabbath. And the fifth one is this, which is another interesting reason also. Please pay attention and understand this, which is a very powerful argument also we can make. You know that in Jerusalem, the Jerusalem Council was a very well-known council. In Acts chapter 15, some people came from Judea and they were imposing the law that unless you are circumcised, you cannot be saved. And there was a debate between Paul, Barnabas and these people. And then the church at Antioch sent Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem to discuss with the elders and apostles in Jerusalem about whether we have to keep this circumcision in the church. And now listen, what is the law they passed? Listen carefully. In Acts chapter 15, 28 to 29, this is the law they passed. If the law of Sabbath was very important, they would have mentioned this over here. Please pay attention, my dear brothers, careful attention, because this is a very important reason that we need to be understanding. Acts 15, 28 to 29. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements, that you abstain from what has been sacrificed to idols, and from blood, and from what has been strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from this, you will do well. Farewell. Only these things you have to keep in, nothing else. The apostles and the church has decided. Do we see the mentioning of the law of Sabbath to be followed by people? No. That shows that we are not under the obligation. But there is an important comment that I would like to make from Romans chapter 14. Now, what is the interesting thing about Romans 14 is this. Romans 14 verse 5. You know what it says? One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Is not Paul giving a permission here? If one person considers one day as holy, you do it. While the other person considers another day, let him do it. So why can't we follow Sabbath in this regard? It's an important question that we need to be asking over here. But one thing we should also see over here is this. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now what do we understand from here? Paul says that if anybody wants to follow one day as special, let him do it. But what he also cautions is what? You should not be judging those who are following and those who are not following. In other words, what Romans 14 says is, if anyone wants to follow one day as holy, let him do it out of his personal conviction. It is not from the Lord. It's only a personal conviction. The Lord doesn't endorse it. The Lord doesn't say that. But if you want to follow it, that's up to you. Don't judge anyone if they don't do. Don't judge others if they do. Don't judge salvation of others. Don't judge the spiritual condition and maturity of others. Give them the freedom. You do it, no problem. But don't come into judgment. You understanding that? It's a very important argument that Paul is making. So, if Seventh-day Adventist people are wanting to follow the day of Sabbath, is there any problem? Let them do it. What is the problem? When they say, all have to follow. And when they say that, if you don't follow, you are losing your salvation. You are not spiritually mature. That's the problem. So please understand the point. Okay, the seventh reason is this. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, speaks about the Sabbath rest which awaits God's people and which is an eternal rest in Christ. The book of Hebrews in chapter 4, the Sabbath rest which is speaking about. Okay, when it is speaking about Sabbath in the book of Hebrews, it is not speaking about the seventh day especially that believers have to keep. It speaks about the eternal rest that believers have in the Lord Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is this. When Hebrews speaks so much about Sabbath, it doesn't mention anything about believers keeping the law of Sabbath. He only speaks Sabbath as an eternal rest, which is an interesting observation also. And also a lesson that we are not under the obligation to keep the Sabbaths. And now, eighth one is this. It seems the early church generally gathered on the first day of the week for fellowship and baking of the bread. We don't see the early church gathering on the day of Sabbath. We see on the first day of the week. What is the evidence? In Acts chapter 20 verse 17. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread. Did they gather on the last day of the week, which is the Sabbath? No. They gathered on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. And this practice seems to have its root in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, who rose from the dead on the first day of the week. But let me again caution you here, because some people try to again manipulate this. The Lord's day is not the Sabbath day. The Lord's day is different from the Sabbath day. Please understand this. John MacArthur makes this interesting point. Listen carefully what he says. John MacArthur, a very good Bible scholar and expository preacher, this is what he says. Sunday has not replaced Saturday as the Sabbath. Rather, the Lord's Day is a time when believers gather to celebrate His resurrection, which occurred on the first day of the week. Every day to the believer is one of Sabbath rest, since we have ceased from our spiritual labor and are resting in the salvation of the Lord, according to Hebrews 4. And also we see that the early church did not follow gathering on the seventh day, but they gathered on the first day of the week. And also, if you see the ninth point for my argument is this. Most of the early church fathers who were very close to the apostolic times, right? The early church fathers, right after the death of the apostles, the early church fathers became the overseers of the church. Now, most of the early church fathers did not practice or defend literal Sabbath observance. They didn't do that. Now, let me read some of the quotations of the early church fathers who did not seem to be believing in following the law of Sabbath. Justin Martyr, in 135 AD, what did he say? Sunday is the day on which we all hold our common assembly, because it is the first day on which God, having wrought a change in the darkness and matter, made the world. And Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the same day, rose from the dead. Did he mention about Sabbath? No. Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, in 110 AD, this is what he said. If then those who walk in the ancient practices attain to newness of hope, no longer observing the Sabbath, but fashioning their lives after the Lord's day, on which our life also arose through Him, that we may be found disciples of Jesus Christ, our only teacher. Did he mention about Sabbath? Yes. Did he mention in a positive way? No. He mentioned in a negative way. Positively, he says, we are under the Lord's day. Tertullian, 200 AD. What did he say? But why is it, you ask, that we gather on the Lord's day to celebrate our solemnities? Because that was the way the apostles also did. They testified that the apostles also followed the Lord's day. Didache, written about 70 to 75 AD to instruct believers. What does it say? On the Lord's own day, gather yourselves together and break bread and give thanks. So what do we see the early church fathers and the early church doing? The first day of the week, which is a Sunday, was followed to gather together as a church. Now again, let me ask you a question. Should we have to strictly gather as a church only on Sunday? Should we have to? No. Again, there is no law of the Lord's day. Just like the law of the Sabbath day. We gather because we have a biblical reason, and also because we have a public holiday, or like for example, if you see in the Middle East, they have public holiday on Friday. They didn't have it on Sunday. But also some of the people argue, saying that even the Jews were working on Sunday. That's the reason they were gathering in the evening. And that's why when Paul writes to them, he calls the Lord's Supper. He didn't say the Lord's lunch or the Lord's breakfast. He says the Lord's Supper because they were gathering in the evening. Because they were working in the day, gathered in the evening, and they were having the Lord's Supper. Which is an interesting observation also. The tenth one is this. My final one is why I believe that we are not under the obligation to keep the day of Sabbath. Many trustworthy Bible scholars affirm that we are not under the law of Sabbath. Even many Bible scholars affirm that we are not under the law of Sabbath. And some of the, we don't follow it just because the scholars say. Scholars are the least. But the first is the biblical precedence. Okay? But still we need to give thought to these great scholars. Thomas R. Schreiner, one of my favorite Bible scholars, a New Testament scholar from Allen's Prospective Bible College, Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And this is what he said. Believers are not obligated to observe the Sabbath. The Sabbath was a sign of the Mosaic Covenant. The Mosaic Covenant and the Sabbath as a covenant sign are no longer applicable now that the new covenant of Jesus Christ has come. John MacArthur, another good scholar, there is not one New Testament command to keep the Sabbath. All the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament except the one about the Sabbath. It is never quoted in the New Testament. There are no prescriptions or Sabbath rules anywhere in the New Covenant. There is no instruction about behavior on the Sabbath anywhere in the New Testament. Douglas Moore, another New Testament scholar, finally, this is what he says. Colossians 2:16 can validly be used to conclude that the observance of a Sabbath day is no longer a requirement of God's people in the new realm. All these Bible scholars also affirm that we are not under the law of Sabbaths. Okay? I'm not finished yet. But I would like to ask you a question. Now I would like to ask, I don't know how many of you can answer that. If you can answer that, I would be impressed. Okay? Now this is a question. There are two major questions which are very difficult for you to tackle it. Confusing. If these people raise the issues, very difficult. Those who, Sabbatarians, those who follow Sabbath, very difficult. The first question is this. Now think about this. Is not Sabbath a covenant forever? Because the Lord says in Exodus 31:16 and 17. Listen carefully. The words are very important. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. It's a life-lasting covenant. It's a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in the 6 days the Lord had made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and refreshed. God mentions that is there a covenant forever. Forever means what? There is no end. Simply speaking, there is no. Now we are telling there is an end. It says here forever it is. How do you answer this? See, one of the important things is the word steady is very important. You go to any Hebrew dictionary. Any Hebrew dictionary you open. The Hebrew word for everlasting and forever is olam. We have one of the names of the Lord. Yes, what is it? El Olam. That means God eternal. And you go to any Hebrew dictionary and you look at it. What is the Hebrew meaning of Olam? You know what does it say? It doesn't just mean eternity. It also means for a long duration. It is not literally forever. It's a long duration. I can prove it from the scripture itself. Now listen carefully. Before that, please take some time because this is a very important controversial issue. And this is one issue that is raised when you talk about the keeping the day of Sabbath. Now listen carefully. In Genesis 17:13 also, the Lord says that this is a everlasting covenant in the context of circumcision. Both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh as an everlasting covenant. Circumcision is an everlasting covenant according to Genesis 17:13. But what do we see in Galatians 5:1-4? Paul says that, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no longer advantage to you. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obligated to keep the whole law. You are severed, that means separated from Christ. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. What Paul is telling? You are not under the circumcision covenant. But what do we see God telling over there? It's an everlasting covenant. That means it's not literally eternal covenant. It means it is for a long duration, for a particular period of time. Maybe as we can conclude that until the Lord Jesus comes. Let's see also Leviticus 16:34. The priesthood of Aaron. What did the Lord say over here? The priesthood of Aaron. And this shall be a statute forever for you. See this. A rule forever for you. That atonement may be made for the people of Israel once in the year because of all their sins. Forever, what they should do? Once in a year, atonement should be made. And Aaron did as the Lord commanded Moses. Forever covenant, right? Forever rule. But you see Hebrews, what it says. Hebrews 8:13. In speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. That means ceased. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, Leviticus we see it's forever. Here it says temporal. The problem is we should understand the meaning of the word in Hebrew, which doesn't literally mean no end. It is only for a particular period of time.
And also Hebrews 10, 9 to 10, we see he does away with the first in order to establish the second, which is the old has gone, circumcision, everything is gone. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Hebrews 10, 9 to 10. Okay, now let me show you an interesting scripture. Shankar said he forgot. You can make a note of it because it's very, very important when we discuss with others these scriptures to prove that everlasting forever doesn't mean it literally no end. Now listen carefully. Exodus 21, 5 to 6, what it says. But if the slave plainly says, slave if he says, I love my master, my wife and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him to God. And he shall bring him to the door or the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall be his slave forever. It says what? He shall be his slave for. So in the heaven also he will be his slave. Now when he says he shall be his slave forever, means what? For a long lasting time. Not no end. Are you understanding? The scripture itself shows that forever doesn't mean no end. Now here is an interesting thing. I don't want to show this Joshua. If you want, you can just see later that Joshua 2:8-28 says, Joshua destroyed Ai forever. Ai forever. But if you see in Nehemiah 7:32, men from Ai were sent back to the land of Israel. That means it was rebuilt later. But it says, when it is written, it says, forever. It was in a heap of ruins. Okay, but now listen carefully. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 22. 1 Samuel 1 verse 22. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. That means Samuel will be there in tabernacle for, but was he there forever? No. Long lasting. And 1 Kings chapter 1 verse 31, Bathsheba comes in order to present a plea before David in order to make Solomon as king. Now you see what she says, Bathsheba, she bowed her head face to the ground. Which wife will do that today before her husband? Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the ground and paid homage to the king and said, May my Lord King David live forever. Wow. David lived forever. 2 Chronicles 7:16. God says, for now I have chosen and consecrated this house, that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart shall be there for all the time. Old Testament temple. Was it there forever? No. So all the scriptures, what does it speak? It speaks that it is for a long time, not necessarily no end. You understood? So when Sabbath, when it says that forever, it doesn't mean literally no end. It means only for long duration. So please keep this in mind when you are challenged with this question. But there is another question also. You know what is that? The creation account is used. It says that you should keep the Sabbath as a sign of covenant. If you look at it, the other question is, Exodus 31:17, it says, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested. Why do we strictly follow that women should be not teaching in the church? According to 1 Timothy. What is one of the greatest evidence? Because Paul uses the creation account. Right? Because Adam was formed first, not Eve. That's the reason we take it as very serious. It's not cultural, it's biblical for a woman not to teach an exercise of authority over a man. But Lord also says over here, you have to keep the day of Sabbath because I created for 6 days and rested on the seventh day. Now how do we handle this? Creation account. I need to give a clarity over here when the Lord says, it is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Now see here that their following the Sabbath is a sign of covenant, which also confirms the Lord making heaven and earth in 6 days and resting on the seventh day. In other words, what he's telling is, your Sabbath following is a memorial of my creation of 6 days and resting on the seventh day. It's a memorial. It's a sign or a memorial which serves that, which also confirms, which in following speaks that this is how the Lord also worked on 6 days and he rested on the seventh day. That's what we see the Lord is telling over here. But still, why are we not under the obligation? Now here are my arguments. The first is this. Using the example of God that he created 6 days and rested on the seventh day, There is no evidence in the Bible of anyone keeping the Sabbath or a command to keep the Sabbath before the time of Moses. This was not told until the time of Moses. Did he tell to Adam after creating, you have to keep the day of Sabbath? Did he tell to Noah? Did he tell to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob? No. That's one of the things. And the second one is this. There is no command to the New Testament believers to keep the Sabbath because of the creation account. Now, did Paul know that when he was writing in Colossians 2? Don't let anyone judge you on keeping the day of Sabbath. If it is a creation account so powerful, so important for us to keep, he could have mentioned, just as he mentioned about women not teaching and exercising authority and head covering. Again, he points back to creation. If you see 1 Corinthians 11 and teaching and exercising authority, why didn't he also use Sabbath and back up with creation? We don't see in the New Testament. Right? But what is the principle that we can learn? Although we are not under the law of Sabbath, and we consider that the Lord worked on the 6 days and rested on the seventh day, there is a principle of rest that we all can learn. Not as the law of Sabbath, but it is good for us, for our bodies, for our families, and for the church. Considering the creation account, we can keep in mind the principle of rest and practice it, but not to keep the law of Sabbath, which is a Mosaic law. And this is what Bruce Waltke said. Bruce Waltke said that, a very good Old Testament scholar, though we are not under law, and the Bible does not command a Christian to keep a Sabbath, it is in our hearts to set apart a day, sanctifying it for worship and reflection. Now listen what he says. A person who feels inclined to work 7 days a week should examine what God he or she worships. If you are working 7 days a week, your golden calf is your work. And you have to crush it. It's important that although we are not under the law of Sabbath, the problem with us is once we realize we are not under law, we want to take the wings to do what we wish and go to the other extreme. And I'm cautioning you, please. There are two things we need to remember, that although we are not under the law of Sabbath, we need to take the principle of rest, and also we need to take the exhortation of the author of Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 to 25 seriously. And what did he say? Do not neglect. Oh, since we are not under the law of Sabbath, no church, go on a family vacation, enjoy your personal, you know, recreational time. Is this what the Bible says? It says over here that in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 24 to 25, what is it saying? It says that, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If you are not under the law of Sabbath, we are under the law of Christ. And what does the law of Christ say? Do not neglect the church gathering. Come together and encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, what do we say? The New Testament believers are not obligated to keep the law of Sabbath because we are the people of the New Covenant, not of the Old Covenant. And secondly, however, it is good to cease from our usual work once a week for physical rest and refreshment, and also for spiritual nourishment through church fellowship and encouragement. Okay, shall we all stand up and pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. And thank you for opening our eyes to understand that we are not under the burdensome laws of the Mosaic Covenant. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Because of his death on the cross, the blood that is shed, we are freed from the old covenant and we are having the new covenant. And in the new covenant, it's not that we don't have any laws and we can do whatever we like. But these laws are there for our own welfare. And when these laws are there, it is also not legalistic laws. These are laws for our own goodness. And also, that you give us the power to keep them. We pray that you bless our church, that we will live according to the law of Christ. And help us all to take care of our physical bodies by taking good rest and not be too lazy in taking rest. But at the same time, be diligent workers and taking rest. And also at the same time, may we give priority to church meetings, that we would come together, fellowship, and encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this freedom and the joy that you have given to us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.com. OurAgeBlogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.